This episode is also made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes.
Hello and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I am your host, your temporary host, Jordan, because Francie is out of town. She is in France, which is basically her name. So instead, you get me today and probably me for a lot in the next few weeks, as well as Colton from Out of Spec Detailing, Brandon, our friend from Tesla Flex on YouTube and TikTok and many things like that, and Andreas, who is our friend who also helps us out of Spec, but recently, he was called a normal guy, and so that's just the fun term you get now. For our video watchers, we have labels. But we are here today. I'm here with three Tesla owners to talk about Tesla's new updated pricing on some things like FSD and also some referral credit situations. So there's been a few changes with Tesla this week. I mean, we also have seen new sports seats for the Plaid. Like a lot of things seem to be rolling off, I would say, the press, but they don't really give us press releases. So not so much hot off the press, just hot off wherever we find this out from. So FSD, let's start there because that's, you know, the hot topic lately. The new FSD has been rolling out. The, I guess, whatever you call it, 12.3 dot something. I got to experience it with Andreas in his car, and now we've all experienced it. So, A, we could talk about that a little bit, how good it's gotten, but also the price has dropped by a decent amount, at least for the subscription modeling, though. Like, there used to be $199 a month for subscription, and is that what it's been until right now? Yep. So
for 3 years.
It's been $199 a month for a long time, which is a decent amount of money. But they just sliced that in half. They did not slice the full cost in half. It's still $12,000 to buy it outright. Now, maybe I'll start with you, Andreas, because you have FSD on your car, not just the free version, right? You've had FSD, you bought it, but you bought it before the price went up for the full buyout. You bought it for what, like $8,000 or something? Oh, you're muted.
Great start.
A normal guy.
Exactly, normal guy. So I was living in Canada at the time, so with a little different pricing, and I just checked, it was $10,600 Canadian, which was around $8,000 US at the time. And I've had it since May 2021. So yeah, 3 years almost. And yeah, so I bought it. Been pretty happy with it so far. You know, like I said on a previous episode, it's just, I love using cutting edge technology. And I've got my fair share out of it. I think, yes, it's a lot of money, right? But I am not a fan of subscriptions in general. So I usually just buy stuff outright without subscribing, but I don't think it would pay $12,000 now for FSD because it's just so much money and you cannot transfer it, right? So
would Tesla, would transferring change things, and what would you see as an ideal situation moving forward?
Transferring, I think, it would change things. But if I bought a Tesla now, I think I would still not pay $12,000 for it. It's so much money.
And even as a subscription, as an anti-subscription person, is $99 a month cheap enough for you to consider that now?
That would be something to consider. Yeah, $99 is a good price, depending on how much utility you get out of it, right? Like with V12, let's say once they add highway, as right now V12, like the new stack is not supported on highway yet, right? Or like on interstates, I should say, on the highways. Depends on your preference, right? $99, I think it's a much better price. I think a lot of people have been jump on that. Would I get it? I think I would get it for a few months, but still it's $100 a month, right? I was just thinking before we hopped on this podcast, I pay $100 for a co-working space a month, right? And even that, I had to think about, okay, is this worth it? Yeah, it's worth it. I go there like, you know, 4 or 5 times a week. So FSD, would it be the same utility? I guess so, but still. Mm-hmm. I would get it, but I might just cancel in between, you know, if you can't do that. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. What do the other guys think? Brandon, thoughts?
I think if it was an account license, it would make more sense, because I've bought 7 Teslas and the first one was only one I got full self-driving on. And I mean, I paid, it was like $5,000 then. I was like, right, I made the switch. And I don't know, like, I haven't really found a reason to buy it again. It just doesn't really seem worth it for what it does. I mean, it's gotten a lot better now, like in the last like month. But before that, it was like spending $12,000 to $15,000 for some people, which is just a little absurd. And then people sold their cars, they lost full self-driving, they paid that much money, and they didn't even get the full like experience of actual full self-driving.
Yeah, I think it has definitely gotten better, but it is still that weighing aspect. I mean, Colton, what are your thoughts on where it is now with the pricing versus where it was?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I've never been a huge, like, you got to have FSD. I've always, like, every time I've been in it, it's just been a little sketchy. Now, this last month with them rolling out essentially a free subscription, and they originally said it was to all cars, but my white long-range Model 3 never got it, which has ultrasonic sensors. I don't know the whole situation behind that, but I've never been a huge full self-driving fan just in general. I've always thought it was very unhuman-like, very jerky, did some things that just really freaks me out on the road. I think the new one's gotten a lot better. I think this all started, it seemed like somebody tweeted at Elon and he either liked it or responded and just said okay in traditional fashion of saying, if FSD subscription is going to be $99, I think the take rate would be 25% higher. And it's now at that point where I think, you know, for me, I would actually consider it. Yeah, my big question is, like, why is full self-driving still $12,000? I literally just checked as this all went up. I mean, that would take essentially right now, as long as they leave this pricing as is, essentially 12 years to recoup the value. Now, I am very opposite of Andreas. I would rather keep my money and pay a monthly subscription. I don't know if that's just the US way thing to do it. And, you know, Andreas is very German in that regard. That's just the way I do things. Everybody does their finances very, very differently. But I would rather have a big chunk of change and just toss money at something monthly. So for me, this may be something where, you know, as V12 gets better and better, it not being beta anymore, which it's still unperfect. I've been in some plenty sketchy situations with my free month trial of it and find myself not using it as much as I initially anticipated. I don't know. It's definitely an interesting one, and definitely a point we need to touch on as well is referral credits for 3 months of full self-driving has gone from 10,000 down to 6,000 credits now. So that may, you know, also help with some active monthly subscribers with that.
Yeah. So how does the referral credit situation work? And Brandon, you mentioned that it actually walked its way down. Like it was 10,000 then 7,500 briefly or something like that.
So I was getting kind of confused by what Colton said. So they recently decreased the amount of credits you get when you refer a customer from 10,000 to 7,500
per car.
The 3 month subscription, or like 3 month, I guess, redemption thing you get with the credits, it still was 10,000. So it looks like they just lowered it down a little bit below what you get for referring a car. So you can still get 3 months of full self-driving for referring someone. It's just they lowered it down to kind of match it more.
Gotcha. Okay. I guess it is funny. It is cool to see our different takes on it, but I do think we probably all agree it would be super ideal to have it tied to your account, because it almost penalizes you for buying a new Tesla if you can't transfer this. And I don't think people would see it as a like an upgrade on your car, literally, because it's just software. It'd be a different thing if you're like, oh, I upgraded wheels and then now I want to take those to my next Tesla. And it's just like, that gets chaotic. But this, it'd be super ideal. I do wonder if they are worried about it being abused. I mean, why are they not, other than, you know, it's obviously more money for people who can afford to just keep adding FSD to new vehicles. But I guess why would they not allow it to be tied to the account?
I heard another opinion the other day on a different podcast that the reason why it's so expensive is actually to keep people from buying FSD, so not everybody jumps on FSD and doesn't take it seriously and takes crazy YouTube videos sleeping in the, you know, in the backseat. Not sure if that's the thinking behind it. I don't know, hard to say, right? It's Tesla internal matters in the end. But it was an interesting take. Something I wanted to add, also, Brandon and I, we discussed a few weeks back, how much would we pay if it was tied to the account and how much would we pay if it wasn't tied to the account, right? So I think we agreed on $5,000 if it's not tied on the to the account and $8,000 if it's tied to the account. That was pre today's announcement, of course, right? And now with the $100 subscription, whole nother story, right? Because even $5,000 would be like four years, right, until it amortizes. So yeah, I'm not sure what you guys think. How much would you pay if it's tied to the account versus it's not tied to
the account? I guess the subscription method is kind of the way to transfer it, unless I'm misunderstanding something, because then you are just, and it's noticeably cheaper now. Like the break-even point at $199 a month was 5 years. Now the break-even point at $99 a month is 10 years of FSD. Who knows where it'll be in 10 years? Hopefully, you know, extremely good, or it could be, you know, pushed down by some crazy lawsuit. I don't really know what's going to happen. No one really does. That's probably why I would lean towards a subscription model. I probably align more with Colton on that front. And again, it is a very American mindset thing to do, but leasing software, I guess. But yep. it is interesting. Like, subscription annoys the heck out of me with like video editing software. Like, I use Final Cut because I bought it and I just want to have it. Whereas Adobe is like, you know, however many dozens or even $100 a month for the full suite and everything. So maybe it depends on the actual thing I'm receiving, and FSD feels iffy. I mean, on one hand, it's so impressive now compared to what it was, but it still is different. And still, I don't know. It's still far out. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's never going to work. And other people are like, oh, it's a year away. And Elon's been saying it's a year away for like 5 years or something like that. But yeah, I don't know. What's done first, the fully baked FSD or the new Roadster?
Good point, yeah. Yeah.
I also don't think they ever planned on having to like do full self-driving transfers. I think they were just kind of making the assumption that they could just upgrade all the cars, cameras, and computer over time. But then there was some hope when they did the Hardware 3 retrofits on the older Model S's and Model X's and then like Model 3's. But then when Hardware 4 came around and they wouldn't even want to mention that it existed, they would just put it in the cars. And then it came, like, the people had to take cars apart to figure out that it was not retrofittable. The cameras use different wiring. The computer is completely different shape and different wiring. So I think the only reason they've even considered doing transfers is because they know that full self-driving is going to take more than just the hardware that's on the cars now. And anyone that thinks that the car is going to be a robo-taxi, like their current state of the car is, I mean, maybe a limited robo-taxi, but nothing like full autonomy, I don't think.
Yeah. Plot twist, the robo-taxi is just the Tesla bot driving a Model 3. I don't know. I don't know what to think of this. And I mean, Andreas has seen it. I mean, you've seen it improve a lot over the years. You've had it now almost 3 years.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, what else would you guys, what do you see it decreasing again? Like, is this like a cry for help or increasing back again? Like, we've seen a lot of price playing with Tesla where they will very quickly decrease, but then also walk something back a little bit. Like, they're prone to doing that more than I'd say other automakers. But I'm curious if you think the price will change quickly again, or is this just a, you know, we need more people to adopt it. We had it too high.
I feel like it is a cry for help. That was my initial reaction when Colton just called me half an hour ago, told me price decreased. I was like, okay, why would you do that? I think it's to drive demand, right? Also with the trial, right? There was also, I think, an attempt to push demand for FSD so Tesla gets more subscribers. It's probably, again, this is Tesla internal stuff. My thinking is, I think they want to have create more revenue from like the services, right? Or the software sales. I think, especially with after Q1 not being so, not having such satisfying numbers, I think they want to have more revenue on the software side maybe. Yeah, hard to say. To answer the question, one more comment on the price. I don't think it will decrease even more. I think $99 is the minimum for a long time now. Will be the minimum for a long time. But they have to reduce the price, right? If you want to buy it outright to at least sub 10 grand, like even lower, to be honest, with this subscription price. Yeah.
$6,900. Do you guys see an issue with the hardware moving forward? Like, as we get more and more advanced FSD, possibly even more of a hive mind concept, will we see an issue with earlier, like whatever the earliest cars hardware that have it? You know, if someone buys a Tesla, they buy a full self-driving forever, quote unquote. But then is it possible that the hardware will outdate itself? Kind of like we see with, an iPhone. An iPhone is supported for roughly 5 years, but after 5 years, the phone probably still works, but you're no longer getting maybe critical security updates, in which case, okay, you bought this phone and Andreas, you're coming up. You bought this phone and you're like, what the heck? I thought this was going to work forever. And it just like obsoleted itself. Would that ever be an issue with people having cars, which should last much longer than a phone?
I think so. I mean, I think it's already kind of starting to happen, because I noticed when you're riding an Andreas's Model 3, it worked just fine. Everything worked, but I could notice that it was kind of like a little bit choppier, a little bit like more laggy compared to like when I was in my car. And I'm kind of worried that like that might cause issues with, you know, down the line, like on FSD V14 or 15, like when it is so computer intensive that like it's almost relying on the infotainment computer to kind of like display everything as well. So I think hopefully, I mean, in the future, they can have some kind of MCU retrofit for Model 3s and Model Ys that don't have the Ryzen. Because right now, the ones with Ryzen, they're just fine. And the ones without Ryzen, those are the ones that are really going to struggle.
Yeah. Colton, do you have FSD or are you considering it?
So neither on both of my Model 3s have I purchased it. I personally like the price point it was. I was just like, not happening. But obviously, like on my performance here, so I'm on hardware 3. Definitely, it seems a little, I would say, strange. I haven't been in Brandon's Model Y or a hardware 4 with V12. I think I'm on 12.3.3 right now, and it seems like every week now they're updating this even quicker and quicker. I think this is so interesting. I'm just like, so many different things are popping into my head. Like, what does this do to cars like Andreas's if he were to trade in for the new Model 3, which I think you can transfer, Andreas, your FSD to the new one?
Like, this quarter, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The value of Andreas's current Model 3, in my impression, just went down even more, because someone can just go get a new Model 3 and subscribe to it for $99, where I think, you know, when he was paying $8,000, there was an increased value there, which to me seems a little crazy. Like on the used market, it's literally a flip of a switch and, oh, your car now has full self-driving. So I will be curious to see what this does to the used market as well. I personally think it definitely will affect it. Because, you know, folks are saying, oh, my car's got FSD, it's worth, you know, $5,000 more, $6,000 more. I don't know. Did that just completely burst the bubble on that? I don't know. That's my thought.
Yeah. It's, I've considered, half considered like finding like a Model S from like late 2016 when you could get the facelift, but also, full free supercharging for life. Mm-hmm. But I was also like, will it be free supercharging for life, or will there be some new thing comes out where they're like, oh, sorry. The hardware has been updated and it can't work. Sorry. And it's like, sure. they're currently, like you said, there's currently a value kind of assigned to that. If I see a Model S used with free supercharging for life, I'm like, oh, that's inherently a bit more in my head than one without it. But also, could that be yanked because it is just software limited if necessary?
It is, but from what I've seen, the prices don't differ that much if a car has FSD or not. It's usually just a few thousand, even if you look like a Tesla inventory. Just as a comment there.
Actually, I think before they had the subscription, it definitely did carry some value when you were selling it privately. But like trading a Tesla meant absolutely nothing to them. But privately, like that was something that people would seek out when they were looking for a used Tesla before the subscription. Mm-hmm. They would always ask, does it have full self-driving? Or like, you'd have to make sure to put that in like a listing because people wanted to know, because they know that it would technically make the car more valuable over time, according to Elon.
What is the history of the subscription? Did it get introduced at $199, and how long has it been out?
It was last year, right?
No, I shouldn't know this so specifically, but it was like mid-July 2021, because I remember I subscribed to my Model Y like when it first came out. But yeah, so it's been around for a while and it hasn't changed at all. And imagine paying $200 a month then when you only got like the summon features on the cars that had sensors at the time. That's all you got. There was really no beta. Like, I even subscribed to the beta and Model S to try to get the beta, and nothing. It was a plat, so it was kind of hard to get the good safety score. But over time, like, I'd say the value of the subscription has gone up and the actual package has gone down. So they just need to lower the price of the package, honestly.
Brandon is our resident archivist for Tesla. I mean, you make videos on everything, so all we have to do is scroll through your TikTok and find the piece of history we want to know about.
Or just like search Tesla Flex, Model S, Model X, whatever.
Yeah.
About the hardware. I think you will know by August 8th, right? This is when the Robotaxi is going to be unveiled. By Tesla. So then we'll know, right? It's going to be interesting. Where will the cameras be placed? We'll have radar. We'll have LiDAR. LiDAR, I doubt. I still think you need a front bumper camera, especially for high speed cross traffic. It's still a problem with the current hardware. I think with hardware 4, it's a little bit better because the cameras, I think, have high resolution and can see farther. But with, again, Chuck Cook, I was bringing up on those FEC discussions, he, I think, did a test how far the cameras can actually see. And it's not far enough to detect high-speed cross-traffic, right? So mm-hmm. I'm sure Hardware 3 testers will be able to, you know, bring you from A to B, no interventions, no disengagements for years to come. But falling asleep, not true.
I'm excited to compare whatever Tesla's situation is at the time when Polestar 3/4 come out with their full sensor suite, because they're doing the opposite approach of vision only. They're like, yeah, we're throwing in LiDAR, all these sensors, radar, like everything. And they even like show on the front of the car, like written things where each sensor is, because they're like, you know, Polestar is weird about labeling everything on the car, which I don't know, it's kind of cool. But I'm curious to see how that goes, because even on Sunday, Wednesday, I don't know, a few days ago, me and Kyle were doing a bunch of testing with ADAS on our Hogback challenge, and we ran into issues with the i5 not allowing itself to turn on because the camera was so blinded by the glare. It's notorious on I-70, a certain section where sunset glare is an issue. And sure, that's not like majority case situation, but in a situation where someone's like really wanting to use their FSD or whatever, that can be a huge issue. So I don't know. I'm probably more on the fan of like sensor redundancy. Tesla put in a bunch of redundancy for the steer-by-wire system, which helps ease some people's fear about that. But why not for the actual sensor suite? I don't know.
Yeah. About the sun glare, just don't drive east in the morning or west in the evening. And it's
that simple.
That's literally my commute.
How hard is it to live west of your job? Or is it the other way around? I don't know. So,
resolved.
Any final thoughts?
I think this is going to make a lot of people pretty excited, and I do think it's going to definitely frustrate quite a few people that especially paid 15 grand or just picked up a new whatever Tesla it is and paid the $12,000 for full self-driving. I mean, realistically, I think especially in the United States, people go through cars a lot more than I think most people really understand. I mean, I see that in my detailing business all the time. I have multiple customers who, you know, every 6 months, every year, every 2 years, they get a brand new car. And to me, it just seems a little silly to slap out 12 grand on a car and, you know, potentially not be able to transfer it to your next Tesla or whatever it may be. So this subscription model, I think, is definitely going to get a lot more folks into FSD, which, you know, definitely somewhat terrifies me because, you know, even when I throw on FSD, I'm definitely more distracted than I would if I'm driving, controlling everything. So, I'll be curious to see how this really plays out. I definitely think they're going to get a lot more subscriptions and potentially even myself over this summer. There is one thing that just drives me nuts with FSD. That is, I can't just use normal cruise control. I have to immediately go into FSD right now. It's so annoying. And then you toggle it off and then you have to reset it up and everything once you're parked. So I think there's just still some fine tuning. Of course, I've been very honestly impressed with FSD 12. But definitely still making some weird errors, like going into turn lanes when it should be going straight. I mean, my dad, he's, I guess, 75 plus years old now. He's got a Model 3 Performance just like mine. And he called me when this came up and he goes, "I'm so excited to go try this out." And he drove to Boulder and he's like, "That was the most terrifying drive I've ever had in my entire life." So I still think there's some work to go there for sure.
I agree. I mean, me and Andreas had a lot of fun being driven to dinner, and it was extra fun when the car just decided to go into a random private dirt parking lot and try to like turn around, and it didn't know how to do a U-turn, even though it told itself to do a U-turn. It was, yeah, entertaining, and that's why I love it. I wonder if, you know, what alienates more from people buying or upgrading their Tesla, because if they are locked in and can't transfer it, that's incentive to keep your Tesla. Whereas Tesla is rolling out new products like this new Model 3 and future Model Y, which I'm really intrigued by. It's preventing maybe some people, not everyone, but a percentage of people from upgrading. Whereas if they, and maybe they are trying to pull people away from buying the full price one, making it this much cheaper. The 10-year break-even point is crazy. So maybe that's why they're like, you know what? We'll just do it as a subscription. If they sell enough subscriptions, it does actually warrant the price decrease. That's just basic marketing and or economies of scale. And maybe that means more people will upgrade now because they're like, oh, the new Highland Model 3, whatever it's called, looks great. It fixes a lot of things I wanted about my Model 3, and I can just get FSD on that just like I would my normal car. So we'll see. And as always, let us know in the comments your thoughts. These are meant to be discussions, debates, maybe some difference of opinion. We're all ears. We'll probably see you down in the comments. And do you guys have any final thoughts before I close this out?
Just one quick one. It's V12 has the capability of doing U-turns. I just didn't do it in that particular instance before anybody comments, "It does U-turns."
Yeah. It does. Like, it even called it out, but then it decided, you know what, let's use this parking lot instead. Yeah, yeah. It's funny because it wasn't really a parking lot.
It was very strange.
But yeah, thanks for joining us on a quick discussion, longer than I expected. But honestly, there's a lot to get into with this. Even simple news headlines have a whole caveat of things to uncover. So we appreciate you joining in, and definitely check out some out of spec detailing stuff. Colton's, of course, always playing with Teslas over there. Brandon is living in the Tesla life, flexing with the Teslas. And Andreas is, you'll see him around. We always see him around. He's probably having a German, he's at a German beer garden near you. Anyways, we'll see you on another podcast very soon. Cheers.
Cheers. See you guys.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.